Let us pray. Break into the silence, O God, with the power of your word. Open our hearts to hear your word for your church this day. Through Jesus Christ, the one whom we await. Amen. Let's hear now these words from the prophet Isaiah, and as we listen today, let's listen together for the word of God. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds, things that we didn't expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry, and we sinned. We sinned because you hid yourself, and we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, they take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or who attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord. When the prophet Isaiah looked at the world, when he considered his family, his neighbors, the people he knew and loved, when he saw what they were dealing with, what the world had come to, his heart just broke. And he did the only thing that he knew to do. He cried out to God, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." Maybe you understand why he did that. You're looking around you now and you're thinking about people you love. People who are scared are grieving. People worried are dying, and your heart aches for them and for this world. Your heart aches for a better day. Maybe you sense that we're looking at the world around us and see the same sorts of things that Isaiah saw when he looked at his world in his day. Isaiah saw a world that was crumbling, a world whose very foundations were shifting beneath his feet. And maybe you're crying out with Isaiah for God to do something about it. Maybe you're crying out to God to, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Fix this mess." Well, if so, then you're ready for Advent. Advent is a time of longing. It's where everything which haunts our living comes into sharp focus. It's when we notice the things that aren't the way they're supposed to be. And it's a time to remember, even in those moments, the promises of our God. Advent is a time of watching in anticipation for the coming of everything that God promised. It's a time of waiting for God to just come and set things right. When your world's crumbling, when you have nowhere to turn, the only thing to do is to look to the heavens and beg God to come down and do something about it. Though the words may have been different, though we may not have used the exalted language of Isaiah, though our volume may have been much more muted, we have filled the air with that same cry this year. And for good reason, we are so aware, aren't we, of the people who are hurting around us. People who we love, groan as they wait to be remembered. Well, the church, in this season of Advent, is called to be a people who is not afraid to name the hurt which suffocates them. Advent is the season for those who refuse to numb themselves with simple, placid thoughts of a better day. It is the season for those for whom all hell is breaking loose, and who have turned their life in every direction imaginable, looking for some help to come, only to find themselves shouting with Isaiah, "God, have you forgotten us? Remember us. You do something about this. Tear open the heavens and come down here and do something. God, just do something to end the hurt. Do something, God, to stop the warring madness between the nations. Do something, God, to help my parents understand me. Do something, God, to help me find a job. Do something to get my child out of danger. Do something to take this anger which consumes me away. Do something to break this hold that grief has on me. God, do something. Wake up. Remember us. Come near and save." Whenever we discover that the world isn't the way we want it to be, or that God imagined it would be, when we recognize the hurt, we call out to God in the hope that God's going to do something to set it right. Isaiah knew that well. At the beginning of the book of Isaiah, the prophet speaks a word of warning to the people. And the next part of the book reveals that the people failed to heed the warning. And so they end up in exile in Babylon. But here at the end of the book, the people have finally returned to their homes. And when the people of Israel returned from exile, from their place of exile, they returned with glad hearts. But then when they arrived home, everything was different. What had been fertile fields were now barren places. What had been their homes were now ruins. And perhaps most troubling of all to them was that God's temple was nothing now but a pile of rocks. Their world had crumbled, and they began to wonder if God had written them off. Was God done with them? Has God abandoned us? God, have you forgotten us? And then with their hurt surrounding them, and filling them, they cry out to the one in whom their hope is lodged. They call out to their God, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." It was their way of saying, "Do for us now what you have done for us before. Remember, God, how you led us out of captivity. Remember how in the wilderness we were hungry and you fed us. Remember, God, how you saved us and protected us and loved us. Do again for us now what you did before." All of this couched in their remembering of who they were as God's people. And they dared to remind God that they belong to God. "You made us. We're all your children. Think about that, God. We are yours. Don't forget us. Don't forget us." They realized that at some deep place, that no matter what their circumstances were, they belonged to God. No matter how difficult the road, they were God's. No matter whether they walked in ruins, they belonged to God, and that was the beginning of their hope for God to end the hurt. They belonged to God. and so do we. We belong to God, heart and soul, mind and body. We are God's. And that's why when our world crumbles, we cry out to God. Because we're convinced that God can do something to set the world right. And so during these days of Advent, we will tell the truth. We won't be afraid to name our hurt because we cannot affirm our hope without it. And this is our hope, that even now God is in the midst of our world, knee deep in the pain and hurt, and God is working out a day when all hurt will be ended and every tear wiped from every eye. Like so many of you, I watched in recent months as the reports of the hurricanes kept sweeping through and talked about all of the devastation that people are still facing today. And I found myself thinking about the trips that we made so many years ago now to Mississippi following Hurricane Katrina. And in that memory, I found myself giving thanks for the group known as Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. So many of you have given gifts in support of their work, making their work possible. We show up, Presbyterians, in every place of brokenness. And Presbyterian Disaster Assistance stays in that place as long as they are needed. And their whole theme is out of chaos, hope. And I remember reflecting back on that trip, how when we arrived in Mississippi, they said to us as we gathered that first night, you know, the people in whose home you will work think that you're here to fix their houses, but that's not what you're here to do. What you are here to do is to be a visible sign of hope for these people who have lost everything. For these people who are in chaos, as wild as it comes, your presence speaks to them of God's hope. And it struck me that there is not a better image for Advent than that, than chaos giving way to hope. Into the midst of chaos we cry, oh God, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. We are your people. Remember us. Send your light to shine in the darkness. Tear open the heavens, oh God, and save. Well, let's stand together now and say what we believe. God keeps his promises and gives us hope. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God kept his promises. All that we can ever hope for was present in Christ. But the work of God in Christ is not over. God calls us to hope for more than we have seen. The hope God gives us is ultimate confidence that supports us when lesser hopes fail us. In Christ, God gives hope for a new heaven and a new earth, assurance of mercy and judgment beyond death. This hope gives us courage for the present struggle.